Today's daf is Besechet Shavuot. We're in the first parak Shavuot Shtayim on daf Hey, and we're holding on daf Hey Amid Aleph at the word Gufa, where we have the colon at the end, and it's basically a third of the way down. So let's review where we got up to. We finally managed to construct a reasonable understanding of the Mishnah if we were willing to take the Mishnah to be a compilation of different shitot, because it was not consistent, Alib de Rabbi Akiva, not consistent, Alib de Rabbi Shmuel, and not even consistent, Alib de Rabbi, who was the author. So it turns out that although Rabbi does agree with Rabbi Shmuel when it comes to the Idiot HaTum'ah, and that there are, in fact, four possible chiyuvim of a korban oil of a year, right? But he does not agree with his own statement here in the Mishnah that the Shvuot are Shtayim Shein Arba, because Rebbe, it turns out, in general, does not darshan Ribu Yomiyuti. He only darshans Ribu Yomiyuti in cases where the Klal Prat Klal is not well formed, and that does not include the case of the Shvuot, because over there it's very well formed. You have Nefesh Asher Tishava, and then it's la'ara la'etiv, and then it's l'chol asher yivateh. So it's a very clear klal prat klal, and therefore he would have darshan it as a klal prat klal. Because of that, he would have been limited to the nature of the pratim, and the nature of the pratim. The most striking thing about the pratim is that they're both describing commitments to the future. There'd be no way to get away from that set to include in it a shvua sheker. That's ridiculous. I mean, you might include the chiyuv of Shvua Sheker from somewhere else, but it's certainly not in the parsha of Korban Oil of Yared. It could be included under the din of Shav two times. Or Tosfos's approach is that it would be included, the meaning that Beferush Ripta Torah Shvua Sheker to Shvua Shav. Tosfos has a fabulous explanation that he was not referring to Rava, but rather what he was referring to is the fact that in the Luchas Rishonim, in the Luchas Shniim, we have two different languages. One of them talks about Ebreacha, Eid Shav, and one is Losan Ebreacha, Eid Shaker. So that shows that Shav and Sheker are the same thing, nothing to do with Shavuos. That's brilliant. Right? In other words, if the Luchas can use those words interchangeably, so that it would be true about Losis Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav as well. That L'Shav means L'Shaker. But in any event, it certainly has nothing to do with the parsha of Korban Oil of Yared. There it doesn't mention not Shav, not Sheker. It just talks about Ma'ara Aleitiv. Okay. That was very nice. And there was something that we mentioned along the way that we never really explained very well. And that was, if you recall, Rabbi Yosef had felt that Rebbe was completely uncommitted to the Mishnah, to the two open cases. Rav Kahana, on the other hand, insisted that Rebbe himself goes along with Rabbi Yishmael's approach to the Ha'alamot. And we brought a braita that explained that, and we never really worked it out. I'd like to go back to that now, says the Gemara. Let's read over the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe, and see if we can make deeper sense out of it. Gufa, getting back to that. Minayin sheino chayav ela sheyesh ba yediyah b'tchilav, yediyah b'sov, ve'aleim b'natayim. Now this was the sheresh of the limud, which turned out to be the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Here, it's Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi, and that's how we knew that Rabbi agrees with Rabbi Yishmael. So over there, Rabbi Akiva said, look, if it says in the pasuk that v'ne'alam v'hu yada, so all that we see over there is a typical understanding of the nature of the korban. You didn't know what you were doing, and then you found out. How do we know that it's talking about that you once knew and forgot, which is what's added here that doesn't appear in any other case of chiyuv? Oh, so that we must know from the repetitive, v'ne'alam, v'ne'alam, shnei pa'amim. So that additional halama adds the fact that there must have been an original yediyah that was forgotten. That's the point. But that leaves you with no extra limudim, so you're left with what it says. What it says is, ne'alam mimeno v'hu tameh. So that means the halama is in terms of the tumah. That is indeed Rabbi Akiva Shita, and that there are no shnayim shein arba. There's only Shnayim. Namely, you forgot that you were Tamei and went into the Kodesh. You went into the Mikdash. You forgot you were Tamei and you ate Kodesh. Those are the two cases. But to say that you remember that you were Tamei, but you forgot that this is the Mikdash, or you've remembered that you were Tamei and didn't know that this was Kodesh, no. That doesn't count. Because we don't have a Ribui. Rebbe says, well, of course we have a Ribui. You don't need the Vnei Olam. Einot Tzarich. Where do we get the idea? You need the word Vnei Olam to tell me that you, the additional Vnei Olam that you once knew. The word Vnei Olam means that you once knew. Vnei Olam means, and you forgot. How can you forget something that you never knew? So since the very word means that, I'm now left with the question of why it says it twice. Now obviously I do have a Ribui where you don't have one. So Harei Omer Vnei Olam, that tells me Bichlal Shiyada. So then when it says Vuhu Yada, so now I know there's Yadiyah B'tchila and Yadiyah B'sof. That Vuhu Yada means exactly what it says. Vuhu Yada B'sof. In Kim Hatam B'lor Vnei Olam. The only explanation, Vnei Olam, which is why do we say it twice? L'chayev al ha'alem tumah v'al ha'alem mikdash, which is two additional cases. And therefore, according to Ma'ashita, says Rebbe, we have four. And that's why I write Shnayim Shein Arba, exactly like Rebbe Yishmael. Okay, so now that we remember that, I want to question why Rebbe assumes that Vnei Olam means you once knew. I mean, he's making an assertion over here that is powerful enough to claim that he has an extra Ribui. How does he know this? Omer Mar, you claim that Vnei Olam means Bichlal Shiyada. Where do you see that? Vnei Olam could easily mean that it was unknown. How do you know it means and it was forgotten? Omer Rava, well, if it meant that you never knew, then it would have made much more sense to say Vehi Aluma, not Vnei Olam. Vnei Olam means that there was a process of forgetting, and it became forgotten. That's what the word means. If you want to say it was hidden from him, unknown to him, then say Aluma. So the Vnei Olam therefore implies grammatically that there must have been something that had been forgotten, because otherwise there's no process. Only Abaye, you want to bet? Let's take a look at the parsha of Sota, okay? It says by Sota, V'ne'elam me'inei isha. Now what does that mean? He once knew that she had gone around with this guy. Then he forgot about it. And then he remembered. Okay, now let's say it means that. Let's say it means that. What would be the implications if he forgot about it? I mean, who cares? Forgot, remember. The bottom line is, this is our... obviously it means. And he forgot and therefore continued to live with her normally as a wife. So he slept with her. There's no other implication. The problem is that a husband who sleeps with his wife after she already became asura to him until the bureau of the mayim can no longer bring her to give her the mesota. But here you're saying, well, the meaning of the primary pasuk that describes the process of the sota is that he knew and forgot. I mean, that's absurd. So mechlal dava yada miikara? I mean, it doesn't even work. Yava yada mibat kulo maya? Had he known, and then even accidentally he slept with her, but Vatanya, does it not say in the pasuk v'nika ha'ish mi'avon v'isha hi tisa et avona, with which we learn, first, let's make sure that the man who is bringing these charges is himself minuka mi'avon, and hasn't done anything wrong sexually, and then namayim arbotkim et ishto ha'isha hi tisa et avona. But if the man himself is not all that pristine clear, Eina ish miduke miavon, who is he bringing this water to? Eina mayim botkinet ishto. Okay? Now I'll give you another example. About the Torah. So we find that Iyov characterizes now the Torah, V'ne'elma me'nei kol chai. Now what do you think that means? That actually, first, the Torah is understood. Then it becomes forgotten. Are you telling me that there ever was a human being that saw the Torah as its entirety? The Igadava Yadaba? Because Vaktiv Lo Yada Enosh Erka. No human being, no mortal, has ever understood the full structure of the Torah. So what are you telling me that it means it was forgotten? So the word doesn't mean that. I mean, where would Rebbe get this from? It's an outrageous assertion that is clearly not true from the way the word is used in the Pesukim. And he's using it now, his assertion, to claim that he has an additional word. Omar Abaye. Well, there's only one solution to this. I'll tell you. It must be, Ella Omar Abaye, rather, not like what you understood, but that what Rebbe is actually saying is that Kasava Rebbe, Yidi'at Beit Rabo, is considered to be a Yidi'at. The fact that someone had learned that you're not allowed to go into the Mikdash if you became Tameh through touching something that was Tameh. V'nelma does not mean V'nelma in an absolute sense. V'nelma does mean that there was always something missing. Exactly as you're saying. V'nelma mene kochai, V'nelma mene ba'alam. But what was missing, what Rebbe is asserting, is that the meaning of V'nelma is always, and this is true about Torah as well, V'nelma doesn't mean that you don't know that it's there. It means that you don't recognize the implications of knowing that it's there. Now this is an unbelievable assertion of Abaye. Listen to what Abaye is saying, because it's such an incredible, my Rebbe used to bring this as one of the biggest shorashim of humanity. What it's saying is that a person can have all of the facts at his disposal and know nothing about them. Because what we're talking about over here is the man learned in school that if you touch something tameh, you become tameh, and that you're not allowed to go into the Mikdash. He knows that he touched something tameh. He knows that this is the Mikdash. But as Rashi puts it, it doesn't add up to anything. It doesn't mean anything. But this is the way humans live all the time. All of the things that we know make absolutely no difference. I mean, this is like infants. Infants are like this. This is Piaget's studies, right? Classic cases. Is there a ball here? Yes, there's a ball here. If I put a cup over the ball, is the ball still there? Of course. Okay, then you take the cup, put it over the ball, and the child asserts that the ball has disappeared. You take two cups, one which is tall, one which is short. If the same amount of water goes into both, are they the same size? Yes. Fill up the cup, show that the tall cup fits directly to the small, and it's exactly the same size. Okay, which cup is bigger? Always point to the tall cup, up until a certain age. But the fact is that human beings always remain infants, and that all of the most important things, even though you know everything about it, it makes absolutely no difference to your conclusions about the nature of reality. So what Rebbe is saying over here, the V'nelma, I don't understand V'nelma to mean you knew, but you forgot. You always knew, and you always forgot. Exactly the same way it was about the Torah. Exactly the same way it could be about the Sotah. It means you know things, but they don't register. So if that's the case, Yidiat Beit Rabo, Shema Yidiat. Says Rav Papa Tabaye. So then how do you understand the Mishnah? That's crazy. It says, Ein ba Yidiat betchila, v'yesh ba Yidiat besof. What do you mean, Ein ba Yidiat betchila? If Rebbe understands the nature of Yidiat to be the theoretical knowledge that there exists such a thing as tum'ah, that if you touch that tum'ah that you're tummy, and that if you are tummy you can't go into the Beit HaMikdash, who the heck doesn't know that? What do you mean, if you didn't know? Amalei, well, of course, who the heck doesn't know that? Mashkachet lo betinok shenishba levein hanochrim. Take any American yeshiva bacher, he has absolutely no idea that such things exist. I mean, they have heard of one of them, or something, but generally speaking, a kid goes to YU's high school. No, you tell. So he's nishbalavein umotolan, basically. Because you'll ask him afterwards, is there such a thing as tuma? Well, what? Maybe tuma he knows. Does he know that this is metame? No. Does he know that tuma creates an iser of going to the Beit HaMikdash, shechayev karet? 90% of them won't know what you're talking about. So you're telling me such a thing is impossible? Take a look what happens. It happens all the time. The Mishnah is addressing things that indeed, maybe at the time of the Gemara, were inconceivable. Except that somebody was literally kidnapped away by a fairy when he was a child. You know, taken away to Never Neverland or something. Today, that's typical. I mean, it really is. It's astounding. It's literally typical. I'm not talking about people that were... I'm talking about people that have gone to yeshiva, that have been at my table, and literally have never heard of the most fundamental things. Okay, the next case we have is Tziyot HaShabbat. So it's Tziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim She'en Arba. Now, in Masechet Shabbat, it doesn't say Shtayim She'en Arba. In Masechet Shabbat it says, Tzanatam Yitziyot Shabbat Shtayim She'en Arba Bifnim, V'Shtayim She'en Arba B'chutz. So over there, it completely changes what it says over here. There it talks about, you can have four cases all of which are somebody standing inside. Four cases, all of which are somebody who's standing outside. Now, the four cases would be, if you're standing outside, and this is my Machlokas Rashi, it does, we'll take Rashi's approach over here. So the four cases would be where an ani now can do a complete act of hotza'ah by sticking his hand inside, removing now the money from the hand of the Baal HaBayit, and taking it outside. He can do the opposite. He could take the change out of his pocket and put it back into the hand of the Baal HaBayit while he's standing outside. What he can also do is open his hand, offer, put it into the hand of the Baal HaBayit, but then he's not chayev, because he only did the akira over here, but he never brought it into the Rishut HaYachid. And he could do the opposite. He could take it, he can allow the Baal HaBayit to deposit it into his hand now and take it out. So if he's standing b'chutz, there's four different ways to do it. You have exactly the same situation standing b'fni. Either you do the full hotza'ah by doing the actual akira of the chefetz from one to the other, or from the other to the one, whether it's an haknasar or hotza'ah. Later on we're going to say it, but it says yitziyot. We'll worry about that later. And if I'm standing outside, I can do the complete, either by sticking my hand in and pulling it out, or vice versa. And in each case, I can also do an incomplete by either completing the hanacha or doing only the akira. In either case, I would be chayev on two, because I'm only chayev, I do akira, the hotza'ah, and the hanacha. And I would be over on an iser derabonan in doing a partial malacha if I allowed it to be completed by someone who was doing the other part of the hotza'ah, the hanacha. But in any event, it's far more detailed and nuanced than the Mishnah here is. Why do we just say Shnayim Shein Arba? So my Shnayim Shein Arba, the Shnayim Shein Arba, the two low. Why do we only say two, which are four? Well, my Shnayim Shein Arba, Bifnim, Shnayim Shein Arba, Bachutz. I mean, that's obvious. Atam Dikir Shabbatu. I mean, over there you're talking about the main point of the Masechet is to really describe the Dinim of Hotza'ah of Shabbat. I mean, obviously it's going to give you all of the details, including the Avot and the Toladot. But a very unfortunate choice of words, as we're about to see in a moment, where Hachadalav Ikar Shabbatu, it only lists the Avot, and it doesn't list the Toladot. And, wait, what are you talking about, it only lists the Avot? Avot mean the cases that are given in the Torah. The case given in the Torah is Hotza'ah. Al Yitzei Ish Mimakomo. Go out, go out. So then, what are the Avot? Excuse me, the Avot are Yitziot. There's a total of two Yitziot. That's all. I mean, you can't, there's only two possible ways we should be chayiv on the Hotzah. The other two ways are Achnasa. But those are Toladot. You're claiming that you can't even have the Toladot, and there's only two. There's not two that are four. Maybe you're going to try to tell me, well, that's not true. You can do the hotza'ah by standing inside. You can do the hotza'ah by standing outside. You can also, whether you're standing inside or outside, do a partial hotza'ah. So the partial hotza'ah is where the other person would deposit it in your hand and then you would only put it down, or vice versa. So that would give you two which are four. Now, of course, two which are four would mean two isurim, but only out of the four, only two would be chayim. Because if you only did a partial hotza'ah, then you're chayim. So maybe that's what you're trying to tell me? V'chiteima, there are four cases of hotza'ah, ignoring the case of haknasa. Two of them is l'chiyuv, and two of them is liftor. Maybe that's what you'll say? Because we've already established that the Mishnah's thread has to have the cases being all the same. Marot negaim, all four cases, are real marot negaim and are mechayev you exactly in the same way, correct? You're still going to need the same carbon, whether you have a seis or a sapachat seis or a baharat or a sapachat baharat, it's all the same. So, hadumina marot negaim ketani. Just like by marot negaim, kulo l'chiyuva. So over there, by definition, you're chayav on every last one of them. Avocha kulo l'chiyuva. So now what? Elam Rav Papa, forget, I made a mistake. We should not have said this business about avot et toladot. The difference between here and there is still obviously true. I mean, but we have to polish that a bit. Here, over there, it's Ikar Shabbat. Since it's Ikar Shabbat, it tells me the Rabbanans as well. So it teaches me the Chiyuvi and the Pturi. Harcha, where we're coming to teach only the essence of Shnayim Shein Bar in terms of Chiyav. It's only Chiyav. Is I'm going to mention the Beturei, which is exactly why it is similar to Marot Negayim. So, Acha Chiyav Etani, Upeturei Lotani. You'll notice that meanwhile, it's given us another reason for why it is that we don't write all of the cases in Shabbos. Before we said we don't write all of the cases because if you only have one, you don't write all. It's only if you have two, you write all. But we couldn't have written all of the cases because then they would never have matched Shnayim Shein Bar, which include both Chiyav and Petur. Fine, but still we would be questioning anyway, so what do we do about Marot Negayim? We'd have to come up with that answer. It's just nice to know the differences. Okay. Now, excuse me, Papa. You're saying that there's Chiyuve and Pture, which equals eight, and then there's two which are four, which are Chayev. How is it two which is four that are Chayev that are also... I mean, you said over here, Yitziot HaShabbat. The Chiyuve, what are the Chiyuve? Yitziot. It says Yitziot HaShabbat. But there's only two Yitziot. Yitziot Shartya to have you. I mean, the other two of Chiyuv are not Yitziot. They're Achnasot. Well, so you have Shtayim Dot Zahav and Shtayim the Achnasah. But it doesn't say that. It says Yitziot HaShabbat. I mean, it doesn't say Yisurei Shabbat. It doesn't say, it says Hotza'ah. It says Yitziot. Omrevashia. That's just a way of referring to the idea of moving something from one place to another. Look, the Tana always calls any format of moving from one rishus to another a hotza'ah. I'll prove it to you. It doesn't matter what direction you're going to. Hachnasanami hotza'ah kariyo. Me my. You want to see? Take a look at the Mishnah. It's not. Hamotzi mirishut rishut chayav. Okay? Now, mirishut rishut is generic. From one space to another. It says you're chayav. Now, obviously, we're going to include a case, milo askinat, to come a ayel ayule. I mean, it could be talking about, there's no prejudice here. Mirishus rishus could mean that you're going in, right? Ayel ayule, you're going indoors. One rishus is indoors, one rishus is outdoors, okay? It says hamotzi mirishut rishut, even though obviously it would mean that you're going indoors too. How do you know? No, because then why would we say from any generic rishus to another? Why would we say mirishut rishut? Then we would have said hamotzi mirishut echadushet rabim. The moment that you try to establish an unprejudiced word, rishut. I don't care what that rishut is. Obviously, that's telling you that there's no prejudice either in which direction you go. That's your own prejudice. You want to call one space because it represents to you a rishut ayachid because it's more enclosed. So animals like to be enclosed. So you call it rishut ayachid. Okay, fine, that's your prejudice. But in terms of the Yisurei Shabbat, all we're interested in is how to define different senses of space. And it's saying that you move in either direction, obviously. You have to get beyond your prejudices here. So therefore, it's telling you that my mirishut rishut, afila mirishut rabu mirishut ayachid, do you not call it hotza'ah over here? Yes. Hamotzi mirishut rishut. You want to understand why that's true? Because that's the whole point that the Tana is making, is to try to get you out of these prejudices. Hamotzi, when you say, child says, I'm going out. I'm going out means I'm leaving the house and walking into the place where my friends are. But when a human being says to take something out, he's not talking about taking it out of the house. He's saying taking it out of where it is. That's the point. What do I care where that is? The only way you can take something out of where it is by changing its spatial coordinates to a different type of space. Well, what difference does it make what direction you're going? That's just silliness. What direction I'm going, in, out, that's all. I don't mean in, out in some kind of personal way. I mean in and out of its space, where I started from. And therefore, that's called hotza'ah. That's the point. Removal from its current space. Period. And that is a much more abstract and reasonable way for the Tana to present it. So what's he supposed to start making differences between Otsa and Atnasa? Brilliant. So the time am I, the Tana calls any Akirat Chefetz Mimekomo Hotza'ah. It's removing from its space, not from your house. So the Tana calls that Hotza'ah Karila. Omrevina. Hey, you're not going to get that in Uncle Art. Look into the Hebrew side and listen. Oh, he's going to, you know.
I'm doing it.
Oh, all right. Good. Omer Ravina. Matnitina Mideka. Look, you know what? You're looking for another Mishnah to bring a raya to the opening Mishnah. You don't need another Mishnah to bring a raya to the opening Mishnah. Read the same Mishnah. Okay? What does the Mishnah say? Yitzyot HaShabbat Shayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shayim Shein Arba Bachutz. Now, you need to explain to me what they are. So the Mishnah goes on to explain it. The craziest thing is that the explanation begins with the Ani takes something from outside and puts it into the hand of the Baal HaBayit. Now, that ain't Hotza'ah. So I don't care what you're talking about. If you're using the word Hotza'ah, don't you have to explain what Hotza'ah is first and then go on and take for granted that Hachlasa would also be included. But you don't start explaining your terms by explaining a different term. That's ridiculous. Unless there is absolutely no prejudice whatsoever in the term Hotza'ah to which direction you're going. That's the point. So the Mishnah already went out of its way to prove that to you. And it's trying to get this personalization out of your head in order for you to abstract the concept of Hotza'ah. Then he immediately starts to become a fire shachnasa. Now how can you claim that you're talking about an explanation of Hotza'ah and then go ahead and explain Hachnasa? Unless that's the whole point you're trying to make, right? Shema Amina, that teaches us that point. Rava Amar, Rava says, look, I don't think it's right to try to figure out why we would call the act of Hotza'ah, of Hachnasa Hotza'ah. I don't think that the Mishnah is referring to an act at all. You're looking at it as a verb, taking out. It's not a verb. It's a reference to the concept of Rishuyot. That's what it's saying. So it's saying Hotza'ot, meaning the ability to move between one space and another. Those create, this is the way Tosus understands it, those create Shnayim Shein Arba. That's the point. But don't focus on the verb of moving between those spaces. Just the concept of the spaces of Shabbat provide the ability of Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim, and so on. Right? Okay. Rashi tries to fit it into that there are two spaces on Shabbat, Hotza'ot, meaning Yitzyot HaShabbat, two spaces, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, which can create now Shnayim Shein Arba, which lead to four Chiyuvim, which is a mixed metaphor in a sense, because the second part is referring to the act. The first part, we're referring to Rishus, doesn't really add up, Tosfos doesn't like it because of that and other reasons. Okay, moving right on along now into Marot Negaim. Marot Negaim, Shnayim Shein Arba. Now, let's take a look at the mission. Tzvanata Marot Negaim, Shnayim Shein Arba. And then it explains it. What are the Shnayim Shein Arba? Okay, now as we know, the Torah talks about a Baheret, it talks about a Se'it, and it talks about a Sapachat. Now we understand that the word Sapachat is an implication of secondary too, not a type of Mar'eh, which is neither a Se'it or a Baheret. It means a secondary to the Se'it and a secondary to the Baheret. The very use of the word Baheret implies that that is the brightest. Bahir. Bahir hu bashech hakim. Right? Okay, it's sefer ha-bahir for the same reason. So this is the brightest of the light. That means that if you're trying to find a bright white, and you need to look at the metaphorical white to the baharat would be the brightest white that you find in nature. So you can imagine freshly fallen snow on the Alps, which has now an albedo that is very, very high, and it's going to be reflecting the sun. That's a baharat. As bright as you can get. You're going to need to wear your sunglasses. On the skin, exactly. So that would be the baharat, okay. And then the se'it would be now lower than that. The sapachat, undoubtedly, would be lower than either the baharat and the se'it, but the brighter would be the baharat's sapachat, and the less right would be the se'et's sapacha. So in other words, what we need to do is define a grayscale which the human eye is capable of instantly identifying without needing reference to something else. So there's enough of a difference on this grayscale to take the four top levels of bright white, slightly darker, slightly dark, slightly, where I know myself that it's darker without watching the scale itself. And those would be the four barot. Anything that is less than that is less reflective than that, is not on the scale. And is not considered to be a mar'eh. Okay. So now the problem is that the way the Mishnah arranges, this is like this. The four natural occurrences that we have of whites go like this. The Baharat is Azak Yishelek. The Shniyala, which would mean its own Sapachat, so it would be its Tolda. So the Shniyala then would be Kisid HaHechal. Now that's not the next thing, the Sid of the Echal, albeit was very white, but it is not really the second on the grayscale. It's the third on the grayscale. But since the second on the grayscale would be the Se'et, because that's the only one that the Torah is mentioning as Se'et, it sticks out to you. So if that's the case, the third one, which would be the equivalent of the Sid HaHechal, must be the Sapachat of the Baharat. So we call that the Tolda of the Baharat, the Shniyala. The Se'et goes back to slot number two. So the Se'et is Ketzemer Lavan. This is freshly, completely freshly washed wool, as it's just coming off. It's brand new, has never been used. That's Tzemer Lavan. That is the second slot. The Shniyala, now the second to that, which is the fourth slot, the second to that would be now the Krum Beitza. So that would be the inner membrane of an egg after you've peeled off the outside shell. The membrane of the egg, which is significantly more gray than any of these other marot. So in other words, in the order of the Lavan, it would be actually the Baharat, which would be the Sheleg, Azaka Sheleg. And then you would go to the Tzemer Lavan. Then you would go to the Sapachat, or the Toldor, the Shnia of the Baharat, which would be the Sid Heichal. And then you would go to the Sapachat, the Shniyala, the Tolda of the Se'et, which would be the Krum Beitza. So the Mishnah is presenting it as 1, 3, 2, 4. Now this creates a problem. Fresh egg. You mean you don't know how to peel it off, is what you're saying? Well, you'll do some. The membrane. Krum means a membrane. That's right. The amniotic sac, rather than the actual hard calcium.
It's gray white.
No, of course not the albumin. That's part of the egg. We're talking about the membrane here. I can see who runs your kitchen, sir, dear president. That's why they call you the president. The rest of us have to actually crack eggs and make eggs. Look at that. It's worth being a president. Oh, ostrich eggs, of course. Now there you got a nice groom, let me tell you. Fine. So the problem, says the Gemara, is that the way the Mishnah presents it, Rabbi Chanina, Mantana Marot Negayim, the presentation of the Mishnah, is against Rabbi Akiva. It can't be going like Rabbi Akiva. And of course, this also interests us because we've been looking for Man Matnitin. In the Man Matnitin, it's interesting, it never occurred to us that the Marot Negayim Shnayim Shein Arba could also be not like Rabbi Akiva, because that seemed to be independent of the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about, but the construction of the Mishnah. Lamais is not Rabbi Akiva, even if the quote in our Mishnah may be morally parav, because it doesn't mention a thing about the order. But I'll show you that this order is a disaster, according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva says, Zu l'mala mizu v'zu l'mala mizu. We're going to explore that later, but Rabbi Akiva says, in order to have, everybody agrees that in order to have a shear of a nega, so you have to have that minimum shear of kigris. Okay, that shear could be a combination of marot, as long as you never get off of the scale. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not true. It can't be a combination as long as you don't get off of the scale. It could be a combination of any adjacent colorations. So in other words, any two which would be next to each other, 1 and 2, 2 and 3, 3 and 4, that would be fine. But you can't go ahead and join 1 and 3. Now, if he's saying that, then the Mishnah, which claims that this is Shniyala, absolutely decimates the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Because Shniyala means that there are also sets of Negayim, because otherwise it's irrelevant. According to Rabbi Akiva, we have a smooth scale that extends from the brightest to the lowest. And it has four different levels that are discernible. So then what are you talking about, Shniyala? What is the meaning of Shniyala? Shniyala means we have two sets. We have the set of the Se'et and the set of the Baharet. If you're telling me it's a set, that means that the other Ma'ot are not part of that set. I mean, otherwise there's no point in even mentioning it. Why do we talk about what Shniyala? It's completely irrelevant. The Mishnah doesn't have to present the limud from the Pasuk as a definition of whatever Shniyah to this or to that. That's, you don't teach it to me in that way. If you're teaching it to me in that way, then what you're saying is that you can only combine a member of the same set. But if you can only combine a member of the same set, then for heaven's sakes, the way the Mishnah has it is 1, 3, 2, 4, so then you can't combine anything. Because either if you try to combine the one next to it, then it's always a member of another set.
Because of the lashon Shniyala?
Yes. What does that mean, Shniyala? So if you're going to tell me, kimin yomer zulam alamizu, v'zulam alamizu, what you have essentially done is tiharta sidechal, that's harif. You've told me that sidechal cannot be joined to anything, alibad Rabbi Akiva. Because, look, man letzarif, tell me where you would like the sidechal to be mitzarif to, okay? You want it to be mitzarif to the baharet, because you're going to say to yourself, well, I mean, it is secondary to baharet, It's Zulam Alamizu. The Baharat is two steps above. So it can't be Mitzuraf because it's the wrong shade of gray. So you say, okay, so then be Mitzaref it to whatever is next to it. So then be Mitzaref it to the Se'et. I can't be Mitzaref it to the Se'et. The Se'et is a member of a different set than it is, right? So to be Mitzaref it by the Se'et, Laf Tova Didayu, it's not part of the set of Se'et. So you're left with nothing. So how can the Mishnah be Rabbi Akiva? Wait. How come you're only asking from the Sidechal and the Krum Beitzah? That doesn't bother you? It's exactly the same situation. What is number four going to team up with? Can't team up with number three, which is the only one that he's allowing it to team up with. Because that's a member. Number three is linked to number one in the set. It can't team up with this number two, which it's part of the set of, because that's two steps away. So exactly the same problem. I don't understand. Why did you mention only the case of the Sidechal? So Krum Beit Zanani? You could have said the same thing. Bari Man Litzrafet. Where am I going to team it up with to be Mitztarev to the Shir of the Gris? I mean, if you're going to tell me Litzrafet Bahari Se'et, which is its own set, so get it number four with number two, which is its mother? No. Because then it's not in order of the shades of gray. Because then you've got Sidechal, which is one step of gray in between it and its own mother. If you want to be Mitzarefet together with the Sid, which is number three, and should be directly above it, it can't, because it's not a member of the set. Lav bar mineu. Ay, I love it, I love it. The clarity of the thinking, the taking the word seriously, the understanding of what it would have to imply if... It's delicious. And you all sit there looking like this is standard fare. Yeah, so, says the Gemara.
The first part of the Gemara.
They have a
magnifying
glass out of their shoes. The Greeks have all these colors.
You know what? When we get to Negoyim Bezrat Hashem after we decide to expand the Daf Yomi idea, which is definitely needs to be done, we will sit and discuss that, because that's what the Mishnah sits and discusses. So it's exactly what we will do. Bezrat Hashem. Yes. Klei lecha.
Is it possible Rabbi Akiva just doesn't agree with this? But that he would not let...
That's what we're claiming. We're claiming that Rabbi Akiva can't be the author of the Mishnah, which is part of what we've been discussing all along. Okay. So the Gemara, no. Wait a minute. That doesn't follow. That doesn't follow. You're forgetting something. Hi, Mai. Bishlama. Below Sidechal, Krum Beitzah lo kasha. You see, if I wouldn't have the Sidechal issue that I just raised, you wouldn't be able to catch me out on the Krum Beitzah. You know why? Because it's true that Krum Beitzah may be mitatoi, the Se'et, and it may be a member of that case. It's by definition Rachmana Omar l'se'et v'sapachat. You see, the Torah puts together the se'et and the sapachat. It's we who put together the sapachat for Baharat.
Oh,
so if the Torah puts together se'et v'sapachat, it would be absurd to say that Rabbi Akiva meant that you need to have an adjacent gray coloration, where the Torah is bedafka telling you these two things need to always be looked at together. So sapacha tefila l'seit by definition afakavta benachta b'nei tuva. Even though it may be many steps, I don't care how many steps beneath it, if the Torah says that these two things are related, then it's relating it. I can't get away from that. The only thing that I'm bothered by is sidecha. That is sidecha, that's really a problem, because I am now creating a set, and I still hold that it needs to have adjacent grays, so now the mission doesn't make any sense. How would you make a mission like this if your whole idea is that what we have is a grayscale? But it's not a sapachat that's defined by the Torah. You can't take this lasa'it for lasapachat. You can't now include that.
Why can't we say the same thing we said by Beitzah to the Sidhechel? The same way we're saying by Beitzah that it's a sapachat.
Because the Torah defined that as the lasa'it for lasapachat. It didn't define the Baharat lasapachat.
It calls
this lasa'it for lasapachat.
Not a smicha.
That's right.
So when he says
Zunamal Mizu,
it's only those two. But that would be a
rebuttal referring to Rabbi Akiva. Assuming that we're right, I'm going to discuss this in a minute. Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, it must be that indeed you're right. The Mishnah was not going at Libra Rabbi Akiva, which may have implications for our Mishnah as well, but they're no longer very relevant. Now, there is another approach, which is a bit more complex to what this question is. The way I just presented it, which is the way Rashi presents it, this is only a logistical question. In other words, we're saying, hey, excuse me, but why did you just ask from there? No, I didn't ask from the case of the Kerub Beit Zah because you would have been able to answer me. I needed to ask from there. But we weren't talking about anything really significant. We were just wondering why the Gemara had arranged itself in this fashion. One of the Baalei Tosfos has a very different approach. And what he says is that if you agree that according to Rabbi Akiva, there are two criteria, only then does anything make sense. That's what it's saying. In other words, wait a minute. You're assuming that there's only one criterion, which is Zulam Alamizu? That was your question? I'll prove to you that that's insane. Because if you would say that, then nothing could work.
Right.
That's the point. So there's Bishleim if you're willing to agree that what Rabbi Akiva was saying is that either you could be mitzarif along the grayscale, or you could be mitzarif with your own set. The only meaning to that is will, in fact, two and three be mitzarif, because they're members of different sets, but they're adjoining on the grayscale. And that's what Rabbi Akiva meant. Then you can make some sense of this. But, I mean, if you're not willing to agree to that, then the whole thing doesn't make any sense, even a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. To which we answer, it's true to some extent what you're saying, that there are two criteria, but only in terms of l'sa'it v'l'sapachat, and not for the bayarat v'l'sapachat. Because of Torah Ripta. Right. See, that is a more sophisticated reading. It's a more meaningful reading. I'm not just talking about why you asked the question. I'm talking about the assumptions behind the question, which is, of course, a much more powerful way of looking at the Gemara. Nice, right?
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, we're happy? Very happy today. And Bezrat Hashem. And now it is time for our lovely review. Gufa. Minayin she'inol chayav al she'esh b'yediya b'tchila b'yediya b'sof ele b'latayim Talmud lomar v'ne'alam v'ne'alam shnei pa'amim div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, what do you need? Plus to tell me that you need to have a yediya b'tchila. Einot tzarich. Hari Omer v'ne'alam, doesn't that mean nechlal shi'ada? So then, when it says v'hu yada, so now I know that you once knew, you forgot, and now you know, okay? So he got shtei yediot. Im ke ma talmud lomar v'ne'alam v'ne'alam, l'chayev al ha'alem tuma ve'al ha'alem migdash, in the same way that we were mechayev al ha'alem tuma for migdash, and al ha'alem tuma for kodesh. Gives us four cases. Omar v'ne'alam, Michlal Shiyada. How do you know that? Omar Rava, well, he aluma mimenu. There needed to have been something which then gradually faded out. So you're talking about fading. Fading, that means that there was something there. Omar Le Abaya, Elam Yataga Besuta, Tichtiv Ne'elam Meinei Isha. Is that what it means? Michlal Dava Yoda Bikara? I have a yada mi bot kolobaya, but tanya.